John chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 5 tonight. And I've entitled the series Light Over Darkness. And that is an image that is used again and again in the book of 1 John. And I was telling you this morning, I've entitled tonight's sermon, The Born Supremacy. And I've decided to break this into two parts. Now that's B-O-R-N, not as the popular movie, B-O-U-R-N-E. And to be honest with you, I hated the movie, Pastor Eric. I mean, what's the deal with that camera shaking all around? And can somebody please buy them a Steadicam so they can shoot some of those action sequences and we can tell what's going on? My apologies to fans of the movie. But anyhow, that is not what we're talking about tonight, and that's not what John deals with here. But we realize that as believers, we ought to be born to do some things, right? And as I was studying for this message, I decided I would type in born to on a Google search and see if I could find out what some things people are born to do, right? And so these were just a few of the ones that came up right off the top. I saw one that was born to ride. Born to ride. It was a motorcycle website. So some people are born to ride. Another one I saw was this title, Babies Are Born to Dance. Babies Are Born to Dance. It was an article in a science magazine. Then I also saw Born to Run. And that was a Wikipedia article on Bruce Springsteen's third album. And then, of course, the one that I expected would be at the top, but was actually number four, was Born to Be Wild, the song by the group Steppenwolf. Now, John doesn't deal with people being born to be wild necessarily, doesn't deal with people born to ride or babies being born to dance. But what he does deal with is that you must be born of God. You see right there in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So he's going to give us some things that the Christian ought to be if we are indeed born of God. And so this evening, I would submit to you that you must be born of God. And tonight we're going to look at three things that a believer is born to do. It's not born to ride or born to be wild, but we're going to look at three things that a believer is born to do. So this is part one, and then next Sunday evening, Palm Sunday evening, we'll look at the born supremacy part two, and we'll look at three more things that believers are born to do. But as we look at the first five verses of chapter 5 of 1 John, the first one that I would submit to you is that you must be born to love. If you are born of God, then you are born to love. And we see that there in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. We know John 3:16 that Jesus is the only begotten Son of the Father, right? And so what John is saying here is that if you want to love God, you have to love Jesus. There's no separating the two. You can't love God and not love Jesus. Because if you love Jesus, you'll love God, and if you love God, you'll love Jesus. So if you don't love Jesus tonight, then you can't really say that you love God. See, that's an impossibility for a person to love God and not recognize Jesus as the Christ and have a love for Jesus Christ. And you know, that's really because God and Jesus are one and the same. Jesus is God. And I found it interesting that John penned verse 1 declaring that if you don't love God, if you don't love Jesus, you can't love God. And you remember John in his gospel, in I think chapter 10, he records what Jesus Christ said, that powerful assertion when Jesus Christ said to them, I and the Father are one. You see, those two are inseparable. And that's why John says tonight, a believer is born to love. And if you don't love Jesus, then you can't love God. You want to love God? You have to love Jesus. And my question to you tonight, you're here and you claim that you're a Christian. You say that you're born of God. My question is, do you indeed love Jesus? In your life, can it be said that you are characterized by love? Can it be said that you were born to love? Because that's what a believer is born to do. Listen to this. We often have heard of Fanny Crosby. You know, she wrote many of the songs that we sing, I Am Thine, O Lord. She wrote Jesus is Tenderly Calling. She wrote To God Be the Glory and wrote Blessed Assurance. Those are some popular hymns that Fanny Crosby wrote. An interesting fact about Fanny Crosby was that she was blind from birth. But instead of wallowing in self-pity, she held on to her faith in God and wrote some of those beautiful, lovely hymns. When Fanny Crosby was old, somebody told her, now imagine this, imagine if you had been born blind, been blind your whole life. Somebody tells her that if she had been born in that day, when she was older, that an operation could have restored her sight. But instead of being bitter about that, this is what Fanny Crosby said. She said, and this is astounding, she said, I don't know that I would change anything. She said, do you know that the first thing I'm ever going to see is the face of Jesus? You know, that lady had a love for Jesus. She was born to love. She displayed a love for God. And my question to you is, do you have love in your life? Do you have that love for God? Do you have that love for others? Are you indeed this evening born to love? And something closely associated with that, our second point tonight, not only is a believer born to love, but a believer is also born to obey. Born to obey. Let's look at verses 2 and 3. The real test of your love is found in these verses. John says, by this we know that we love the children of God. How is it, John? When we love God and keep His commandments. In other words, God says, don't tell me you love me. Show me you love me. And the way you show God you love Him is by honoring His word and keeping His commandments. Get this idea out of your mind that it's possible to be a Christian and love God and not live for God. It is not possible to do that. If we love God, then we will obey His commandments. Someone who is truly born of God is born to love, and they're also born to obey. If you love God, keep His commandments. And then look what John says in verse 4. He says, verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. In other words, what God has asked us to do is not something difficult. It's something that will enhance our life and make it better. So if we love God, let us keep His commandments. You know, love is a word that is thrown around often. There was a woman, a story is told about a woman who visited a newspaper editor's office. She was hoping that she could sell him some of her poems that she had written. The editor looked at the lady and he said, well, ma'am, please tell me, what are your poems about? She said, they're about love, gushed the poetess. The editor settled back in his chair and he said, well, read me a poem. The world certainly could use a lot more love, he said. The poem that she read was filled with moons and Junes and other sticky sentiments. And it was more than the editor could take any longer. So he looked at the lady and said, I'm sorry, ma'am. You just don't know what love is all about. It's not moonlight and roses. It's sitting up all night at a sick bed. It's working extra hours so the kids can have new shoes. He says, the world doesn't need your brand of poetical love. It needs some good, old-fashioned, practical love. And isn't that true? Real love isn't about moons and Junes and roses, though those things may be fine. True love is love that is put into action. Not just love in word, but love in deed. In fact, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And John is reminding us of that here tonight. I like what D.L. Moody was often heard saying. He would often say, every Bible, right, should be bound in shoe leather. You understand that? In other words, we ought not just read the Word of God, but we ought to put feet to it. We ought to put action to it. If we love God, then we ought to obey Him. If you're a believer, you have been born to love, and you've been born to obey. But it's interesting what John says there in verse 3. He enlightens us regarding the commandments. And I think many people have a misconception about what it means to live for God and what it means to keep His commandments. He reminds us that these commandments aren't grievous, right? It's not a hard thing that God is asking us to do. If you want to know what real difficulty is, understand what the burden of religion is. I'm not talking about salvation and a relationship with God. I'm talking about man's ways of trying to get to heaven. Religion, the idea of man trying to please God in his own strength, like what the Pharisees, the things that the Pharisees imposed upon the people of that day. It was difficult. In fact, in Matthew 23, verse 4, Jesus described what those religious leaders did like this. Listen to this. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. See, that's religion. It's hard to do. It's something grievous. It's a burden that it weighs you down as you try in your own strength to reach salvation, to reach heaven, to attain unto Jesus Christ. But transition that with what Jesus said about what He offers. Matthew 11:28, He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's nothing grievous about what God is asking us to do. You know, in our sin nature, and our sinful self, and I know this because of experience, we look at the commandments that God has given us, and we think, ooh, wouldn't it be fun if we could live like the world? I've been guilty of thinking that myself. But I can tell you this much. Every time that I've given in to temptation and gone the way of the world, it's cost me. There's always a price to sin. And if we will just have the faith and trust in God to believe that every single thing that He said in that Word is true, and if we'll switch our lives, if we'll change our lives to follow and obey Him, you watch. You will be happier in your life. It will enhance your life. What He asks us to do, it's not something grievous. No, our own way is grievous. When we go the way of sin and we get involved in lying and deception and we have that guilt to live with, that's grievous. And some of you here tonight, I know you know what I'm talking about because you've experienced what that's like when you've gone your own way. But I want you to understand tonight, we have to have faith to take God at His Word and obey Him in everything He said to do. It's not something difficult. In fact, the things that God has told us to do, they're all for our protection, also that we can have more enjoyment, not less enjoyment. A real believer who is born of God is born to love and he's born to obey. You know, when you think about your love for God is illustrated through your obedience. Listen to what one preacher said. He said, "Do you really love God?" And this was a test that he gave. "Do you like to spend time with Him alone in prayer? Do you love to take that great love letter, the Bible, and read what God has written to you?" He said, "If not, then I suggest that you really don't love God." The test of our love is our obedience and our wanting to spend time with Him. You know, if we are born of God, we are born to love and we are born to obey. But there's a third thing that I want you to understand tonight. We're born to love, we're born to obey, but thank God, we are born to win. We are born to win. Look at verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Now, I hate to inform you tonight, but through our first birth, our birth into the human race, we're all born losers. Okay? That first birth brought us into sin, brought us into being enemies against God, brought us into unrighteousness. We were born as losers. We're kind of like the prisoner that I read about that had scratched his philosophy of life on his cell wall. It simply read this: born to lose. That was our condition, or that is your condition tonight if you haven't come to Christ. Our condition without Christ is one of a loser. Our birth into the human race is not enough. We were born into sin. And left to our own devices, we would destroy ourselves and everything around us. But when you gain the second birth, like what John speaks of in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, when he talks about the new birth with Nicodemus, when you experience the second birth, that is when you gain the born supremacy. Amen? And you, as a believer, are born to love, born to obey, and born to win. If you've never experienced that second birth, then tonight, why don't you come to Christ and become a winner? Get on the winning side. You know, if you're a believer this evening, if you're a child of God, then you have that promise right there in verse 4 that because you are born of God, you indeed will be able to overcome the world. Tonight, it may seem bleak around you. You may feel cornered by the enemy. You may feel like you're about to be crushed. But through faith in God, I want you to know tonight, if you're a child of God, you have the victory. We have it promised to us right here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It's kind of like this story from the Korean War. Think about this soldier. Enemy forces were advancing on Baker Company. They were cut off from the rest of their unit, and for several hours, no word was heard from Baker Company. Even though headquarters repeatedly tried to communicate with the missing troops, finally a faint signal was received. Straining to hear, the corpsman asked, "Baker Company, do you read me?" "This is Baker Company," came the reply. "What is your situation?" asked the corpsman. He said, "The enemy is to the east of us. The enemy is to the north of us. The enemy is to the west of us. The enemy is to the south of us." Then after a brief pause, the sergeant from Baker Company said with determination in his voice, "The enemy's not going to get away from us now." Surrounded by enemy forces, yet his attitude is, "They're not going to get away from us now." I want you to understand tonight, as a believer, we can have that kind of attitude because we know the end of the story. If you read the book of Revelation, you're going to find out God wins. He defeats them all. He puts all of His enemies under His feet. And if you're a child of God tonight, then you're on His side. And you are fighting from victory. You've got that victory if you've got that faith in God tonight. And maybe everything seems like it's going wrong in your life, but I want you to know we know the final outcome as believers. And so we know that we are going to overcome the world. We know that we have victory. You can say, just like that soldier in Baker Company, you can say, "Hey, the enemy may have us surrounded. There's no way he can get away from us now." Listen, God has given us the victory through Jesus Christ. I like what 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says. Paul says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's the key, Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus, then you've got the victory. Tonight, my friend, if you're here without Christ, you've only got that one birth. You were born into the human race. And my friend, tonight you are a born loser. You are on the defeated side. But tonight, anybody who wants it can have the victory through Jesus Christ. They can be born into God's family. They can be born to love, born to obey, and praise God, they can be born to win. I have one last illustration for you tonight. Think about this as you think about your situation this evening. You know, we're faced with a choice. Are we going to live for God, or are we not going to live for God? What will you do with this message tonight? Will you let it affect you? Will you let it change you? If you're here tonight without Christ, will you come and be born into the family of God? And then, believer, you're here tonight. Will you walk out unaffected and allow sin to cripple you in your walk? Or will you indeed obey God and show that you love Him? One night, Canon Hay Aitken preached to a large audience in Bristol, England, on the text, "You must be born again." There in the congregation was a brilliant young man. His name was Horatio Bottomley. He listened intently. He heard the preacher at the end of the sermon call all who were there to trust in the grace of Christ and to commit their lives to Jesus Christ. He knew the call was addressed to him. He felt the conviction that night. He was deeply moved, but he said to himself, "Not now. I'll run my own life." And Mr. Bottomley did that. He made a fortune. He made a name for himself. He was a lawyer. He exposed swindlers, prosecuted criminals with great vigor. But when Bottomley was 63 years of age, this man who had exposed the crimes of others was himself convicted of a crime and was sentenced to 7 years in prison at the age of 63. While he was there, another man visited him and asked if he could pray with Mr. Bottomley. Bottomley said that he would be fine, and in the course of the conversation, the other man told his story. He told him, "Yes, many years ago I was in Bristol, and I heard a preacher, Canon Hay Aitken, preach on the text, 'You must be born again.' I was so deeply moved," said the man that was visiting Bottomley, "I was so deeply moved that I committed my life to Christ, and ever since then Christ has been my all in all." So you understand, Mr. Bottomley sat there, listened to the message, decided he would live his own life. Now this man who is visiting him in prison, he made a change that night and decided to live for God. Now he's visiting Mr. Bottomley here in prison. Bottomley was silent for some time. Then he said this, "I too heard that searching message. I too was deeply moved. I knew my need of Christ, but I rejected Him." And then remorsefully he said, "A life without God is a wasted life." My friend, tonight, have you experienced the second birth, the new birth that Jesus spoke of with Nicodemus? Have you indeed tonight been born again? Have you been born into God's family? Do you have the born supremacy this evening? Have you been born to love, born to obey, and born to win? If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ to save you, then my friend, you don't have any of those promises. You don't have that promise that you're going to overcome the world. In fact, the only promises you have from the Word of God is that someday you'll be separated from God forever in that horrible place called hell. Oh, if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ to save you, I trust you'll come and get it settled. Don't be like Mr. Bottomley, who listened to the message and then went out and lived his life and then remorsefully looked back and said, "I wasted my life." Don't let that be your story tonight. And then, believer, you say that you love God, but Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Are you living your life in a way that honors and glorifies God and shows Him that you love Him?